Scientists with the CDC say the strain known as bird flu X could potentially wipe out 4 billion people and kills one-third of the people affected. It originated in China in March of 2013 during the fifth epidemic from October 1st, 2016 through September 30th, 2017. The World Health Organization reported 766 human infections with Asian H7N9 virus, making it the largest H7N9 epidemic to date. As of December 7th, 2017, the total cumulative number of human infections with Asian lineage H7N9 reported by the World Health Organization since 2013 is 1,565. During epidemics 1 through 5, about 39% of people confirmed with Asian H7N9 virus infection died.
A lot of scientists have come out and said, looks like it's been engineered, manipulated to jump from birds to humans, that they were all panicked 20 years ago thinking it might end to humanity because it could kill 1% of people that contracted it. That's 1 out of 100. They call flu deadly if it kills 1 out of 1,000, particularly bad. So now it's being reported by the CDC and by the World Health Organization, the UN, but it's getting almost no coverage. It's a big boil down in Zero Hedge with links to the UN. There is a bird flu that just popped up this week that's already killed a bunch of people that kills 38.3, or round up, 40% of people.
Zero Hedge reports, the World Health Organization says H7N9 is an unusually dangerous virus for humans and one of the most lethal influenza viruses that we've seen so far. H7N9 viruses have several features typically associated with human influenza viruses and therefore possess pandemic potential and need to be monitored closely.
Vaccine, live vaccine, grown in giant tanks, that is then sprayed on the meat, and then the viruses eat the bacteria. This is what you're eating. Now, there's the headline. FDA approved spray-on virus to keep processed meats safe. See, it's not just that, quote, McDonald's is fattening or bad for you, ladies and gentlemen. It's that China is a collapsing hellhole, and that's where, I mean, you do not want to eat food out of China. It turns out the British, the European, the Chinese, the U.S., the Monsanto facilities, none of them eat any of the food. They all have secret organic farms with tents to even keep the chemicals in the air off the food, and that's what they eat. That's what the elite eats. And you can look that up. The communist Chinese elite have secret organic farms.
According to Dr. Yoshihiro Kawaoka of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, researchers led by James Paulson of the Scripps Research Institute in California have been studying the mutations which could potentially occur in H7N9's genome to allow for human-to-human infection. The team's findings, published in the journal PLOS Pathogens on Thursday, showed that in laboratory tests, mutations in 3 amino acids made the virus more able to bind to human cells, suggesting these changes are key to making the virus more dangerous to people. That from Japan Times.
I'm not saying this is disease X. The UN, the globalists are saying disease X is coming. It's going to wipe out populations, and we're going to use disease X to bring in world government, and disease X is going to be the answer to nationalism and to Donald Trump and to these populations that want to pull out of the IMF and World Bank and the globalists who've all been building bunkers and moving to Kauai and Lanai and Tasmania.
Fortunately for now, Fiona Cully, an expert in respiratory immunology at Imperial College London, said the mutations would need to occur relatively close to each other to become more virulent, which has a low probability of happening. But outbreaks since late 2017 of other avian flu strains, namely H5N6 in South Korea, Hong Kong, and Taiwan, H5N1 in Bangladesh and Cambodia, and H5N8 in Russia, reveal an increase in the potential of the mutation of a global avian flu epidemic. John Baum reporting for Infowars.com.
You've tuned in to this special Father's Day edition of the Alex Jones Show. We have been following very closely for several years Disease X, that the UN World Health Organization has predicted could wipe out humanity. Now, there's a spectrum of disease X type pathogens in the virus family that they would call a disease X, mainly the bird flu variety, the mouse pox variety, and also what would be known as airborne Ebola. I have four children. I love my family. I have studied history in great detail. And I understand how big a threat this is. Now, Zero Hedge has an incredibly important article that's a boil down from the World Health Organization and just mentions and blurbs out of the Chinese news that they're basically keeping quiet. And the story is also posted in full at Infowars.com that a new strain of bird flu that kills 40% of humans that contracted it just showed up this week and has already killed 100 people plus. And that's old news. Previous bird flus that they thought were incredibly deadly only killed 1%, then 3%, then 6%. The last one was 9%. Remember decades ago when they were worried it might go airborne? We have a graphic from the UN showing that it is now airborne. This is so incredible, ladies and gentlemen, because this should be the top news story in the world. Regular flu, it's estimated, even with compromised immune systems, might kill 1% of people that come in contact with it. The influenza plague that hit during World War I was estimated to kill around 10% of people that came in contact with it. And the estimates are 100 to 150 million to 200 million because good records weren't kept. It's at least 100 million people with a flu that killed around 11%. This kills 38.3%, according to the UN. They've rounded up to 40%. And it's exponentially getting more deadly in these giant factory farms in China. And if you look at the graphic and put it back on there from the UN, you can get it from the air, from fowl, ducks, chicken, manure, feces, or you can get it from particulate and the virus in the air through your nose or by touching it to your mouth. It's extremely airborne, eyes, nose, or mouth. So understand something, ladies and gentlemen. There's all sorts of new viral strains that are drug-resistant bacterial strains. We know one of the biggest causes of death in the world now is flesh-eating bacteria. There's hundreds of different types that are basically immune to antibiotics. I had three family members die in a month a few years ago of a drug-resistant pneumonia virus. And so there is no treatment for this. I've got the detailed report on Infowars.com. This is from the UN themselves. This is sensationally bad. Now, remember about a decade ago, our own Pentagon and the CDC put out the blueprint via the UN for the mouse pox that kills 99% of mice that come in contact with it. And with a few genetic changes, it can be made to be airborne for humans and kill 99% of humans. It is seen as the most deadly potential because it's already at 99%. I'm going to explain that again. 99% of people that get a human variant mouse pox die a horrible death. This is 38.3. This is an emergency, folks, because if we don't treat it like an emergency, no one will know what's going on, and then it's just something in the background, and we don't get ready for it. Now, here's the big news. Let's put up AP, Reuters, The Sun, others reported this. We first reported this a decade ago, but even this year, global pandemic, a mystery disease could wipe out humanity, top scientists warn. I'm not going to go that far in my headline. I'm saying if it kills 40% of people, and we're 7.5 billion people currently, that's over 3 billion people. It's upwards of 4 billion. So 3 to 4 billion people would die if the entire planet contracted this. And look at the graph, 1%, 3%, 6%, and suddenly 9%. It makes a leap to 38.3. Now, what did I and Dr. Group and others, and Dr. Blaylock, who's a brain surgeon, what have we talked about in the past here on the air? That the globalists have said in their white papers, in their own UN documents, that they want to create race-specific bioweapons and other systems to depopulate the planet. They teach that everywhere, that the world without humans would be great. We need to depopulate. China's been the center of one-child policy, all of this. And that it would be good to cull the planet. We've seen Ian Fleming, MI6, write books about Moonraker, you know, back in the 60s. And they made it a movie in the 80s about, you know, billionaire globalists releasing bioweapons to reduce population. That's art imitating life. You got Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and all the globalists meeting in the news saying they want to forcibly reduce world population. The fact that this is jumping and mutating so quick, and the fact that they just came out earlier this year and said, we believe disease X is about to show up and start wiping people out, get ready for it. And the fact that all over the world, they're beefing up border security in Europe and other areas. A lot of this from my sources is that they're preparing to release bioweapons, claim that they're naturally occurring, and then use that as the cover for civil emergency, societal control, crackdowns on free speech. Obama put the internet kill switch in 5 years ago. And when he got confronted by it by Congress, he said, well, it's in case the bird flu or SARS gets out. Just type that in. CDC says internet kill switch is in case bird flu or SARS breaks out and they have to control panic and direct every website in the U.S. to one government announcement. That's Associated Press. Look it up. So now we see this coming into focus. They say, oh, we think disease X is about to show up. And you just saw Bill Maher a week ago say he hopes there's a total stock market crash, not a recession, a total stock market crash to stop America and Trump. Now, that's a globalist minion. Says crash the economy, crash the stock market. There's the quotes. Watch the video. See it for yourself if you missed it. Imagine, ladies and gentlemen, what they will be able to pull off during a global meltdown, a global collapse, and during billions of people dying, millions of people dying, it'll look like a zombie invasion. Humans, after 10 days of no food or water, act like totally insane people and murder and kill and just eat raw flesh off the ground. Look at Venezuela. And they're training the military for mass waves of zombie attacks so that people don't ask, well, wait, you're trained to machine gun whole crowds of people. They go, oh, it's just a game. We're training to mow down zombies. No. Giant hordes of out-of-control people act like this. And we've been designated as zombies for the zombie apocalypse. And World War Z, the bioplague breaks out in China. They've been pre-programming you so you accept this and follow their Hollywood directives when it all happens. I'm not saying it's about to happen imminently, but they're certainly gearing up for it and pushing it. And you got Dick Cheney talking about in Rebuilding America's Defenses in 2000 in PNAC about using bioweapons to wipe out certain racial groups. Believe me, this is going on. This is historical fact. So I don't need all the little cutesy podcasters out there saying, oh, Jones has gone too far again. You go along with the system out there because you don't want to be censored and blocked. A sign of my success and how real I am is that we are censored and blocked, and every thinking person knows it. So I just want to survive. I want my kids to survive. I want you to survive. We have a global elite with a history of saying they want to release bioweapons to reduce our population. Now we got stuff showing up that's evolving and mutating so fast, it's tailor-made to be manipulated and a bioweapon. And you've got the globalists willing to have a global depression to stop Trump and the resurgence of nationalism and capitalism to block their global government, that they could do anything. And we looked at every angle and believe a bioweapon release could be the thing they'd release to bring in a world government to counter a global problem. And the UN has said that a global pandemic is the only thing that may save their world government. Look it all up. Ignore me at your own peril. I'm the producer of Endgame that documents everything word for word what Elon Musk is now saying 11 years later. If you want to survive and you want to beat these globalists and these modern day Nazis, you better listen. If you love your kids, you better listen. And I'm talking to Joe Rogan and everybody else. You don't listen to me? I hope you got a big bunker or an offshore base, because the plague's coming. It may not be this year, but this is the globalist plan. I'm Alex Jones. You have been warned.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
It is Sunday, already the 17th day of June 2018, and I'm here in studio on Father's Day with quite a transmission lined up for you. We're now into the third segment. I wanted to tell you some of the bombshell interviews, exclusive, that are coming up. We have an exclusive interview with the individual that is the top story in the world right now. And that's coming up in the last segment of the second hour. Roger Stone exclusive video statement on the new Russian contact revelation from back during the campaign. Now, you'd think when we have the exclusive video that the media has access to, you'd think they'd pick it up. They haven't touched it. And that goes into the next story I'm about to cover. Tucker Carlson has absolutely knocked it out of the park. And the control freaks at the imploding CNN and MSNBC have come out of their holes, come out from under their rocks and said how un-American what Tucker Carlson said is. Tucker Carlson said that when you watch major news channels, other news channels on cable, that you can invert whatever they say. Just turn it upside down and then you'll get what's happening. Now, where have you heard that before? Right here. But it's true. It's absolutely true. If you actually went and heard what Roger Stone said, that they now know that a man that approached them at one of hundreds of meetings they had for just 5 minutes, who used an American-sounding name, not a Russian name, and said, I've got information on Hillary, which is totally normal to have opposition research meetings. Give me $2 million. And they said, no, we're not going to pay you $2 million. Bye-bye. The gentleman was using a Western-sounding name, but he was actually Russian and had worked for the FBI previously. Now he's not talking. But this is what we already know happened with Halperin and others that we broke in early May. We broke a week before national news about the first mole. We broke the second mole. We broke the third mole with Mr. Caputo coming on the show. So you get next month's news today. That's why they hate us. That's why they're coming after us. Because they just want to say, oh, my God, an undisclosed Russian connection. Oh, my gosh, here's the Russian guy's name. Oh, sure, he worked for the FBI before, but he doesn't now, probably. And Stone got caught. No, Stone came out and said, wait a minute. Because he got advised about it and said, we got visited, me and Caputo, by this guy. He didn't say anything to do with Russians. Didn't have a Russian name. But now we know he's one of the moles, reportedly. But then the media spins it like, we got you in bed with the Russians. When it's Strzok and Page and all them running the investigations and deep-sixing him and saying we're not going to let him get elected, we're going to stop him, and he's a bad person. But here, just hear it from Tucker Carlson, because there's so many levels to this. You've got CNN saying when you criticize other media, you're undermining democracy. Well, we're a republic, not a democracy, but that's called free speech. It's CNN that openly says don't publish Alex Jones's book, The War for the Future. It's CNN that openly says ban him from YouTube and kick him off radio. It's CNN that wants to get rid of the First Amendment in major articles saying let's overturn the New York Times case that basically set up current libel law. They are this anti-American, anti-flyover country group. And they are so incredibly angry at anybody else having speech. The universities, the left, Hillary, they all want to end free speech. Tucker Carlson isn't ending free speech. He has his right to say you can invert whatever CNN says when they're telling you they've taken the bust of Martin Luther King out. Trump hates black people. Total lie. That's Acosta. That's all these people. Oh, Trump didn't really visit Congressman Scalise in the hospital. He lied. It's just an inversion of reality on purpose. But then Brian Stelter comes out and says, this is un-American and dangerous to say we lie. No, you are a pack of liars. You are very fake news. And you're anti-free speech trying to shut InfoWars.com down. But here's Tucker Carlson annihilating him. Very powerful. Here it is.
General, and it's packed with information. In a few minutes, Donald Trump Jr. will join us to respond to it. But first, what is in the report? Well, the document is more than 500 pages long, and parts of it are complex. And yet, within minutes of its release, the hairspray geniuses of cable news had it neatly summarized for the rest of us. It was a tough day for the FBI, they said. But here's the bottom line. A months-long investigation found no evidence that political bias played any role in this high-profile criminal investigation. That's almost verbatim what they said on the other channels we watched. And they repeated it nearly word for word at the top of every hour all day long, almost like a talking point. which of course is what it was. Keep this in mind. If you're looking to understand what's actually happening in this country, always assume the opposite of whatever they're telling you on the big news stations. And that's certainly the case here. They're lying. In fact, today's IG report is a virtual catalog of political bias and abuse of power. It is true that investigators found no evidence at all that Jim Comey was trying to sabotage Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. No surprise there. Comey is a partisan Democrat, as he has explained repeatedly on his book tour. The bias, and there was a lot of it, was against Donald Trump and his campaign. And there's an enormous amount of that on display in this report. Trump is a loathsome human, FBI lawyer Lisa Page wrote to her boyfriend, FBI official Peter Strzok. He is an idiot, awful, an enormous douche, a disaster. He simply cannot be president. He's not ever going to become president, right? Right, she wrote to Strzok at one point. No, Strzok replied. No, he won't. We'll stop it. Keep in mind, these are the people running the investigations into Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton in the middle of a presidential race. It's almost unbelievable. But you know what's even more unbelievable? Peter Strzok still works at the FBI. The man who promised to stop a presidential candidate from getting elected is still collecting a salary at our most powerful law enforcement agency. If you're looking for evidence of political bias, there you have it. And if you don't believe it, imagine this headline, for example, say 10 years ago. Barack Obama simply cannot become president. We will stop him, wrote FBI agent Peter Strzok, who still works at the Bureau. Can you imagine? No, he'd be fired immediately. First Amendment be damned. And by the way, Strzok and Page were not alone. They're not even the standout cases in this report. The document quotes another FBI attorney wondering, quote, what I could have done differently to stop Donald Trump's election as president. That same official later describes himself as part of the anti-Trump resistance. For some reason, the DOJ is hiding that lawyer's name from the public. We do know he served on the Mueller team until February of this year. Of course he did. And there's a lot more in the report, hundreds of pages of it. It turns out Jim Comey used a personal email account to conduct government business, just like the woman he was in the process of investigating for doing the same thing. Irony alert. Hillary's secret server, by the way, it did indeed have classified information on it, and some of that information was obtained by a foreign intelligence service, at least one. Remember when we suggested that very thing and they scoffed derisively? Well, it turns out it's true, like so much.
All right, let's stop right there. It's a 40-minute clip. I couldn't hardly find it anywhere today. We found it. It's on Infowars.com with the headline up there that the liberal media attacks this as un-American. No, exposing you as a pack of liars is nothing but American, and it's not anti-free speech. You're the ones trying to get rid of free speech. Criticizing you like Trump and I and Tucker Carlson do is our defense against a pack of anti-American, anti-free speech scum allied with Silicon Valley to shut down pro-America truth-based news. But you're losing. The people are spreading the word by word of mouth and getting around the Google censors, the Facebook censors. Now, coming up, we are going to expose the most vicious pedophile in the world that tortured and raped little children with women and then made them bury themselves and then sold the footage to Hollywood Satanist. That's right. But you didn't hear about that in the news. It's in the foreign news. We'll be back. I'm Alex Jones.
I'm Millie Weaver.
I'm Caitlin Bennett.
And you're watching Infowars.com.
We're here at ANA Gun Range in Garrettsville, Ohio. We came out here to meet with Caitlin Bennett, the Kent State college student who has come out and spoken out about protecting the Second Amendment, the girl who famously walked around on Kent State campus with an AR. So she also challenged David Hogg to an arm wrestle. So we're just going to be interviewing her, and we're going to be doing some shooting out here.
I like your shirt, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Gun rights are women's rights.
They absolutely are.
So where should we put them? All right. I think we're good.
I have been a very prominent gun rights supporter on campus for about 2 years.
And the students on campus are very liberal. They're very pro gun control, and no one else was talking about the other side. So I co-hosted an open carry event where we had over 50 armed people on campus. And I was like, that wasn't enough. No one's getting the point about campus carry. They're not understanding gun rights in general. So I was like, I'm going to do a protest right when I graduate. I'm going to go on campus with an AR-10, and I'm going to show how ridiculous it is that I could not have my concealed carry weapon, my pistol on me during my senior year when I was 21 and able to have it. I believe that we should be able to have any of those on campus because I believe an armed society is a safe society and an armed campus is a safe campus. But I definitely should have been able to have my concealed carry weapon.
So you bring up a great point when you're talking about being able to carry on campus, because we've seen a lot of these shootings happen on school campuses. The Parkland shooting has gotten all this hype, all this attention, to where even Nicholas Cruz is receiving love letters and fan mail. I mean, isn't that pretty disgusting when we're talking about the news coverage and who's getting attention? The people who stop these shootings get way less attention than the person who actually goes and carries out the horrendous act. So whatever happened with the whole David Hogg thing, I know you challenged him to an arm wrestling battle, I guess, over the Second Amendment. Did he actually take you up on that offer?
No, he hasn't responded. He hasn't really acknowledged. I know that he's seen it because all of his friends are complaining about it, but he's on his bus tour trying to implement gun control and get these teenagers, you know, registered to vote, to, you know, elect in officials who will implement gun control. And I guess he's too busy being a communist to take up a girl on an arm wrestle challenge.
Look at that.
We're too politically correct. We can't joke. The liberals can joke. That's fine. They can call Trump a monkey. They can say he's orange and, you know, he's a woman beater and everything. But the right wing makes a joke about a scrawny armed little communist that wants to take our rights away. And the world loses their mind.
The left will troll, and they will try to claim that they're something they're not in order to try to put guilt trips or make you feel that you're wrong or get you to backstep in your stance. With some of these tweets that I'm actually reading here, that you're getting, hey, you're going to hell, LOL. Like, she's getting hate mail from these people.
I think it's really ironic that the same people who get the walk up to, like, try to end bullying are the ones sending me those messages. They're, like, comparing me to demons. They make fun of the look. They'll make fun of my ramen noodle hair, which...
Have you ever shot an AR-15 before?
Whatever.
So which is, like, the scariest gun for liberals?
They're both scary to them, but they really hate the AR-15.
Oh, the AR-15. Okay.
Which, it's actually a smaller caliber round than the AK. All
in fact, this is the AR-15 round.
This is the round everybody, from the gun that everybody's afraid of.
That's awesome, man.
This is the lever action 4570 that, it's a hunting rifle.
Right here.
Caliber round.
Hunting rifle. AR-15.
Wow. Which one could do more damage?
Definitely this one.
I wouldn't want to get hit by either, but that one looks a bit scarier.
Absolutely. Yeah. So every gun attack, or it's automatically the AR-15, and the media demonizes it.
In the past 96 mass shootings, AR-15 has only been used 6 times, and yet that's the rifle they keep attacking. They ban semi-automatics. We lose our concealed carry. We lose our to walk around and conceal and protect ourselves.
When somebody who doesn't really know how to use an AR-15 could actually do less damage than somebody who's really good with a handgun. I mean,
if you're really good with that lever action or a pump action shotgun, I mean, you can do 10 times more damage than you can with the AR.
Kent State, I know, I'm sure other campuses do this as well. They put up flyers about it that 1 in 5 women will be sexually assaulted while attending this university. That's terrifying. So why are we advertising that these women might be sexually assaulted, but we're preventing them from protecting themselves?
Exactly.
A lot of campuses don't even allow knives, pocket knives, or even pepper spray. So they're just letting women be victims. They aren't doing anything to help. Those flyers are not doing anything to help them. And, you know, we should be able to protect ourselves on campus.
I'm sure that's going to offend some vegan activists. I want to shoot the AR-15.
Okay.
I get the chicken.
You're a little to the left.
I'm a little to the left. Oh, I got him. Chicken's down for the count. All right. Let's put it back on safety. Women have some physical disadvantages in brute strength to men. And so when a woman can hold a gun and defend herself against some big 6'2" guy that wants to harm her or rape her or kill her, she's really becoming empowered and taking that power back. And with that small gun, she can fend off that guy.
A pistol in the hands of a woman is the greatest equalizer against any predators that might come at her. Having a firearm on you is the biggest deterrent to those types of assaults. You know, it didn't hurt that bad.
Yeah, just left my skin a little bit battle scar for today.
I can see why the AR-15 is such a loved gun. It's more lightweight, it's more practical, it's easy even for women to shoot.
Well, that's America's gun, too.
Women tend to win and dominate gun sports, and that is a way that women can take back. Like you said, it's the equalizer. It allows women to be empowered. That's the real thing that, you know, we don't hear feminists talking about this on the left. We don't hear that because they get their power from wanting to complain and guilt trip and act like they're the victim rather than taking power back into their own hands.
There's a feminism group on my campus, actually, that led a slut walk right before the semester ended. And I asked them, I said, so the slut walk is supposed to stop slut shaming and stop, the rape culture on campus. And I said, do you advocate for women to be armed? Guess what? No, they don't. It doesn't matter to them. They just want to. They said instead of using firearms to protect ourselves, we should be talking and using our words. Well, yeah. Guess what? That doesn't work.
Yeah, no.
It's killing.
What would you say to people who are afraid of guns?
Ask questions. Ask what certain guns do, what different types there are. Then ask someone at a range to go with you and show you what they do, how they operate, what they're used for. Contact your local concealed carry clubs. Contact your local open carry clubs. Ask questions, because I promise you, you'll go from being scared to being thrilled to shoot a gun. It's absolutely empowering. It's fun. And, it's amazing that we have this right to have these weapons to protect ourselves from the government and from people that want to harm us.
You've tuned in to this special Father's Day edition of The Alex Jones Show. You've tuned in to this special Father's Day edition of The Alex Jones Show.
And it seems to me that the biggest story here that isn't reported, because people don't like to frame anything positively for President Trump, when they say, hey, he walked away from that summit with nothing. And I say, it's easy to argue, well, he got a commitment to do this or a commitment to do that. But realistically, all of the commitments they made, the commitments we made, are easily reversible. So it's not really about that. What the president did, and Chairman Keith, and I give him credit as well, is that they have redefined the situation from two mortal enemies, one who must win and the other one must lose, to two potential friends who have taken the first few steps that are not really representative of the whole journey, but they're on the right path to friendship, something where we win, they win, and frankly, they win a lot bigger than we win if this plays out right. So the whole reframing from enemies to probably friends who can help each other is what the president walked away with and is completely ignored.
Well, I appreciate Scott Adams coming on short notice, creator of Dilbert, you name it, really life coach is what he segued into, and very, very popular online doing that. And of course, he's been at the center of the whole Kanye West awakening process, and made the point a few months ago that Kanye had blown a hole in reality. So I guess that reality could then start pouring in. He talked about how it's a lie that history repeats. It's something politicians, people use against us. It doesn't have to repeat if we don't want it to. And now I was watching the little 2-minute video that Trump showed Kim Jong-un, that, as Scott Adams pointed out a few days ago, Owen, could be the best negotiation strategy ever. And it's certainly new, and it certainly worked so far. But I'm watching, I'm like, oh, that's Scott Adams word for word. This is what he said in his last video about Kanye. Somebody must be watching. And then, sure enough, Scott Adams put a video out pointing out, not taking credit for it, but pointing out those parallels. And so I'm just wondering, with Scott Adams, obviously he and Trump are going to the same fount of knowledge. And I know there was this pastor that was real famous, that was a positive thinker, positive speaker, that helped motivate Trump to a great extent. But just the positivity coming back in the world is even making me a lot happier of a person, because I tend to get negative sometimes too about the bad things in the world instead of getting positive about the good things. But then I start seeing all these great things happening. But while I was on vacation, I ran into Democrats who get in my face. Three of them did. And I'd say, what about the peace deal? Isn't it great? What about the economy? And they just say, shut up, racist. And I said, that's not reality, and that's not true. And so it just gets crazier and crazier and crazier that we have big polls out. It's on Infowars.com. Paul Joseph Watson article, TV poll. 71% of liberals don't want peace with North Korea because Trump would take credit. They're having national TV polls with Michelle Wolf's Netflix show, and 71% don't want peace and admit it's because they don't like Trump. This is like a death cult of negative people that would rather die in nuclear war. Scott Adams, you're really good at putting your finger on the major pulse of the good things and the bad things. But if Kanye blew a hole in reality, which I agree, and now that breach has turned into a huge gaping maw, where are we historically right now? And thanks for joining us.
Well, I call it the beginning of the golden age. I've been defining the golden age as that moment when people start realizing that the remaining big problems are no longer physical. A physical problem would be you run out of food and resources. And we're not in that situation. We're more in a situation where North Korea is a perfect example. We were worried about what they were thinking, and they were worried about what we were thinking. But neither of us had any reason to be at war or to start a war or to continue bad feelings. So by both Chairman Kim, who said it first, by the way, he said in his first statement at the summit, he said words to the effect of, let's leave the past behind. And then you saw President Trump with his video that's getting a lot of attention saying exactly the same thing. Because if you dwell on the past, you're stuck with, but we can't move forward because you did this that one time, or some relative of yours did something one time, or our side did something that one time. You just can't move forward. And it seems to me that the biggest story here that isn't reported, because people don't like to frame anything positively for President Trump, when they say, hey, he walked away from that summit with nothing. And I say, you know, it's easy to argue, well, he got a commitment to do this or a commitment to do that. But realistically, all of the commitments they made, the commitments we made, are easily reversible. So it's not really about that. What the president did, and Chairman Kim did, and I give him credit as well, is that they have redefined the situation from two mortal enemies, one who must win and the other one must lose, to two potential friends who have taken the first few steps that are not really representative of the whole journey, but they're on the right path to friendship, something where we win, they win, and frankly, they win a lot bigger than we win if this plays out right. So the whole reframing from enemies to probably friends who can help each other is what the president walked away with, and is completely ignored. And, you know, when he's statement that we're, you know, essentially safer from nuclear war now, and his critics said, what? That's crazy. And I say, who has a nuclear war with their ally? Who bombs somebody who has just offered to help rebuild your country. You know, who becomes an enemy with somebody who's got their hand out literally and figuratively? It's the sort of thing that just doesn't really happen. So he reframed the situation in a way that effectively made a nuclear war no longer have a purpose. Who bombs their friends? It just doesn't happen. And as long as we're on that path, even tentatively, even for steps, and everybody would agree that much more would need to be done to make it real. But as long as you're on this, the path to mutual benefit, nobody fights. Nobody. It just doesn't happen. And that, I think, is the biggest unreported story.
Scott, I went back a few days ago, and I watched your 20-minute viral video, or however long it was, on Kanye blowing a hole in reality. And then I went back and watched your new video. But before I watched that one, I wanted to go watch the old one. And I don't want to say Trump's plagiarizing you. He's not. But it's word for word about unlimited resources. We've transcended resources. We can flip the script. We can take control of our destiny. History doesn't have to repeat, but we're the people in the critical time to do it. I mean, seeing that, I mean, you guys are on the same page. So maybe for listeners that want to learn more about the antecedents to your political and your philosophy in life, what would they want to research?
Well, my book, Win Big Lee, has a good good introduction to that sort of stuff. But as you mentioned before, the influential pastor Norman Vincent Peale was the person who really was the father, if you will, of the idea of power of positive thinking. That was his best-selling book. And he was Trump's pastor when Trump was a kid. And he was influential to me as well. I read his books. So I think we're all, we all got a little bit infected by the strategy of being positive and framing things in the positive way for win-win situations. So it probably shouldn't be a big surprise that people who had the same influences have arrived at the same way of
sure, but a couple of years ago when you did the whole mental judo where you said, oh, I'm supporting Hillary or I'll be basically murdered, you were saying, I believe Trump is following this. I believe he'll be successful. And I think it's because you understood his mindset that you have better than anybody, I think, charted what he would do.
Yeah, and the other thing he does well that he doesn't get credit for is a sense of priorities. If you look at the criticisms of him, and you were to make a list of all the things people say, and then make a list of the things he's actually doing that are real things like the economy, North Korea, progress with beating ISIS, etc., those are all real things and are top priorities. The things people are arguing about are, well, he didn't pass the fact-checking on this according to us. You know, it tends to be a little subject what the facts are in many cases.
Exactly. They're still playing the game like they're God and they dictate reality.
Yeah. So, and the president has put, winning and making America great again, having a strong economy, all those things very expressly at the top of his priority list. And when he uses persuasion to get there, the critics are arguing the least important parts of what he said. They're arguing about the wording. They're arguing about the technical accuracy. They're arguing about whether in some way that we can't imagine things will be worse in the future because we allowed this to happen.
But what matters
today
is it's really working. So I want to ask Scott Adams, a real visionary, what's coming next straight ahead? And I want to talk about the negativity, though. As people get more positive and we realize that humanity's in a pretty good position if we behave like it, well, what is the negative side going to do? Because they don't seem to be getting better. They seem to be getting just insane and just making up their own false reality while putting their finger at us and saying, we're the ones lying. We'll be back. You've tuned in to this special Father's Day edition of the Alex Jones Show.
You had a good run. The opposition had a good run. But it looks like our opposition has fallen short once again. Aw, poor baby.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to open up the phone lines here for the second hour. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. We'll flash the phone number graphic up on the screen for you momentarily. I'll take your calls on the IG report, but you know what? It's Friday. This is the conclusion of the 34-hour broadcast, so we'll open up the phone lines to anything. Wait a second. Do we have some breaking news right now? Hold on a second. I'm getting something in my ear from the crew. We've got some breaking news here. Harrison Smith has some breaking news. Do we have Harrison Smith, guys? Hold on a second. Harrison, you've got some breaking news?
This is breaking news. I don't know how you feel about this, but the Comedy Central show The Opposition with Jordan Klepper has been canceled.
Wait. Wait. the old opposition, huh? The old opposition has been canceled. Shut down. Cut down in its prime. Cut down in its youth. Actually, it had no prime. Well, the old opposition launched a week after this show launched, probably in a direct response to InfoWars. But where's the opposition now? Bye-bye. Bye-bye, opposition. You know what? I want the whole crew on the mic again. I want everybody on the mic to say bye-bye, opposition. You can say bye-bye, opposition, or you today. Bye-bye, Jordan Klepper.
Bye. Bye-bye.
See you later.
Bye-bye, Mr. Klepper.
You had a good run. The opposition had a good run. But it looks like our opposition has fallen short once again. Aw, poor baby. The opposition is You know how many tears were shed over the opposition? Zero. Hold on. Pull it back up. Jordan Klepper's opposition canceled by Comedy Central. But new weekly series planned, and that one will fail too. You know, here's the sad thing about it. A lot of people probably lost their job because of this, but you have to understand something. When you have counter-programming that is launched as propaganda, how can you expect to win? And this is the incredible thing to me, is that they probably actually thought that that show would last. It would be funny. It really would be funny. There's the Chuck E. Cheese rat that confronted Alex Jones. It would be funny, except they really don't get it. And, you know, I've got these two tweets from Trump today that I covered. The tweet about beating the Bush and Clinton dynasty. The tweet about Paul Manafort being treated unfairly. And you can see that Twitter rigs up their algorithms so that you only see the negative responses first. And you go and you look at some of these people, you look at their Twitter accounts, you look at their tweets, and I mean, I honestly just feel bad for them. These are some of the most lost souls and brainwashed people out there. I really feel bad for them. I don't know what I can do. I mean, do you see how everything on your side is losing? The opposition is losing. Robert De Niro is losing. Hollywood is losing. Clinton, Obama, losing. Like, just join the winning team.
This is an emergency broadcast. And I say emergency because I want to get people's attention. I began to study history when I was about 11 years old, because my parents would not let us have cable or let me watch a lot of television other than like documentaries and PBS. Went to movies and things, but they didn't let me watch television. They said, you either read, do your homework, you go outside and play sports. And so I read hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of history books, because my parents would buy me all the major timeline books on World War II, World War I, the Wild Wild West, the occult, probably 30 sets of those. And the reason I say that is I've got some background and some research. And now in 20 plus years on air, I've made more than 30 films. I've interviewed thousands of top experts, generals, presidents, scientists, and they concur and focus in and give us an image of what's really happening in the world. Now, for people that don't actually study real politics, when I talk about this, you're going to have heard of this. There's too many people. We need to depopulate. Moonraker, the old James Bond movie with the globalists wanting to depopulate the planet with a bioweapon. More modern films like The Kingsman, releasing a psychological warfare wavelength through the cell phones and TVs to make us kill each other. There have been hundreds of films where there's a global government and they want to kill us. Now, when I was like 8, 9 years old and watched Moonraker, I just thought it was a movie. Didn't know an MI6, head of OSS type guy had written it. OSS World War II, MI6 later. But decades later, I know all about it. I'm one of the leading experts on open public source white papers and globalist statements on this. And what's scary is they're so public about it. They think you're idiots. And they've said, we're going to stand by and let bioweapons basically be developed by third world countries and released. Or we'll go ahead and produce them ourselves and release them. We even may do race-specific that wipe out certain genomes, families of humans. We're all humans, but there's certain subgroups and things in the family. It's like dogs or any other, major species. There's a bunch of different types of horses. And you got Dick Cheney, the famous Rebuilding America's Defenses 2000, saying we need to develop the use of race-specific bioweapons. I mean, that was in our local paper. People couldn't believe it. A couple of years after I covered it, it was in a local paper. They said, wow, you told the truth. And I'm like, go read the damn paper yourself. Not the paper writing about it, but Dick Cheney. So I've broken down the fact that you've got bird flu that there, a lot of scientists have come out and said looks like it's been engineered and manipulated to jump from birds to humans, that they were all panicked 20 years ago thinking it might end to humanity because it could kill 1% of people that contracted it. That's 1 out of 100. They call flu deadly if it kills 1 out of 1,000, particularly bad. So now it's being reported by the CDC and by the World Health Organization, the UN, but it's getting almost no coverage. It's a big boil down in Zero Hedge with links to the UN. That there is a bird flu that just popped up this week that's already killed a bunch of people that kills 38.3, or round up, 40% of people. Because some folks are still out of the woods. It'll probably be more than that before it's all over. So everybody knows I've made 30 films. Everybody knows that 6 or 7 of them are about depopulation. One of them is called Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. They've had congressional hearings on it and said they want that particular film banned from the internet. They have major newspapers saying, ban it. Why? It's word for word what Elon Musk is telling you. In their own words, their own admissions, they're like, whoa, we said too much. We don't want you to see that film. I can't believe it only had 50 million views on Google Video before they took it down and only has like 10 million on YouTube. I mean, sure, if you want the DVD, we sell it, but that doesn't matter. I don't care about that. All I know is I'm not saying this current super bird flu, the worst ever, that's gone from 6-7% mortality that they thought was the end of the world to almost 40% in just a year. I'm not saying this is disease X. The UN, the globalists are saying disease X is coming. It's going to wipe out populations, and we're going to use disease X to bring in world government. And disease X is going to be the answer to nationalism and to Donald Trump and to these populations that want to pull out of the IMF and World Bank and the globalists who've all been building bunkers and moving to Kauai and Lanai and Tasmania and having Air Force bases, private Air Force bases. Larry Ellison, worth 70-something billion, he bought Lanai, a private island in Hawaii, has a private Air Force base set up, and I talked to people that are involved in it. It all looks very nice and everything, but the approach, they've got like pillars at the fortresses that pop up and have got, robot 50 cows in them and bunker bases under it. And I was told this by locals. I already knew about it, but they came to me. I had law enforcement come to me in Hawaii because I was in Maui right across the water. My wife at 5 a.m. is like, why are you getting up? Where'd you go for 6 hours? I'll tell you. I was there. I had law enforcement come to me, detectives, and I'm going to get them in trouble. I'm going to leave it there. And they said, what you say is true. We've talked to the people, what they're doing over there. And then I looked up a bunch of it open source, and it's true. He bought an airline. It's now been shut down, but the planes are going in and out. There's giant earth-moving equipment, and he's building a bunker on a private island. They're all doing it. Now, I'm not saying it's going to happen next month or next year or 10 years from now. I got four kids. I don't have bunkers. And so I don't want this to be real. Yeah, there it is. There's mainstream news articles talking about all this stuff. It's just that when you've got scared senior police officers coming to you and they say, look, we can't tell you everything. They got people, obviously, on security over there, and they're reporting back to police what's going on. And they're acting like it's the damn end of the world. They got private armies, underground bunkers at former U.S. bases there. That's a former U.S. base. Used to be a targeting range, a proving ground. I mean, folks, they're like ants right now running around getting ready for something. And all I'm telling you is there's an airborne weapon that many experts believe is being engineered, and they've looked at it. I remember 10 years ago, there was something that looked at bird flu. Remember hundreds and hundreds of top genetic engineers and bioweapons experts and virologists kept getting killed and run over and shot and drowned, and some were killed in weird satanic rituals. It was even the Washington Post. And it's at like 1,000 are dead now. I was covering this 20 years ago, hell. So they're saying there's an airborne bioweapon, whether it's man-made or not, that kills 38.3% of people that come in contact with it. It's airborne. It's airborne. It's in China. This just popped up today. The UN admits it, and no one's covering it but Zero Hedge and InfoWars. And so I just want to get people thinking about this and talking about it, because the globalists may not pull some of this if they think they can't get away from it. If they think that they can't escape the blame for it, or that we don't know about their bunkers, or that they don't know that the survivors are going to go dig them out if they're involved in it, they'll get trials, don't worry. But you've got Oprah and the globalist all meeting with David Rockefeller before he died, saying we're going to reduce population, and you've got it being the world government plan, and you've got them wanting to block the human awakening to what they're doing, and the globalists believe the earth belongs to them. And now something that scientists believe may kill 4 billion people or more is airborne, and people don't even act like it's a big deal. How many times have we told you about things years before it comes true? I don't want this to come true. The globalists have lined it all up. They're geared up. They say it's coming. They say in all these white papers, Bill Joy and others who are good, have met with the billionaires, and they go, oh, the decision's been made to wipe everybody out. What do you think Elon Musk is warning you about? What do you think Kanye? It's a bigger plan. Let's not wipe everybody out. Let's go to the stars. Let's not stoke race war, culture war. Let's not have a war with Islam. Let's just come together. We have infinite resources now and go to the stars. But I'm telling you, it's all over the news. And I first told you decades ago that globalists have moved to bunkers all over remote islands with mercenaries and airports and gunships, and they're 20 stories under major mountains. And they're always ready with jets ready to haul ass. So if you start seeing a bunch of people die in China, and you see it, oh, 1,000 dead, 100,000 dead, and then by the time you hear it's 100,000 dead, it'll be here on these airplanes, and you won't have anywhere to go. My instinct's been for years to get a place way out in West Texas and just pull out and get my family ready. And everybody that's got instincts realizes we're in great danger. That's why I'm trying to get this out in the open so we can have an open debate about it, so that the globalists don't pull this, or that we get ready for it to naturally occur. God bless you all. More coming at InfoWars.com and NewsWars.com. I don't have all the answers, but I am a trailblazer, and I'm dialed into the zeitgeist, and I'm telling you, this is important. We've never seen airborne pathogens of this level that kill 40%. God bless you all. Please pray for discernment, and please pray for life and peace. Please pray for a human future and not a Silicon God future.
As the years go by, it gets harder and harder to keep up with your body's nutritional needs. With changes in diet, unnatural ingredients, and stress, you may not be able to get all the necessary nutrients, amino acids, vitamins, and minerals needed daily. That's why InfoWars Life created the powerful Vitamin Mineral Fusion Formula. The new platinum standard of advanced multivitamin formulation, Vitamin Mineral Fusion uses a unique delivery system to maximize the effects and give your body the tools it needs to support your body. Using a proprietary process, we've managed to make this powerhouse formula into a delicious concentrated drink mix that's loaded with high-quality ingredients. Perfect for a hot summer day or relaxing at home, Vitamin Mineral Fusion is loaded with 34 different essential vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and more. Start supporting your body's needs in a great-tasting, natural, and affordable drink mix with Vitamin Mineral Fusion today. Available at InfoWarsStore.com.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
You've tuned in to this special Father's Day edition of the Alex Jones Show.
One of the great playboys of all time, no question about it. But in between marriages, I have numerous reports of FBI agents fanning out and asking associates and former associates and those about the president and women. I thought this was about Russian collusion. What does this have to do with the 2016 election? But it just gives you some idea where the special counsel may be headed.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You were the president's wingman for many years.
Yes.
So that's really what you know, that you're not, you guys have been buddies.
Yes.
And
and they've begun asking, Mueller's people have begun asking about questions about the president and women. Think they asked those questions about Jack Kennedy? What do you think? So I don't know what it is they want.
Well, I think you should get out front of it, because the stuff I read in the New York, they know, it's all been back when they loved Trump. It was on the New York Times. It was in the New York Post. It was in the New Yorker. You know, about Roger Stone and you know, Trump seen out again with, you know, three lovely ladies or whatever. You know, it was always in between his divorces. I mean, you told me some of the stories. Well, said, yeah, that's accurate. You didn't tell me anything that wasn't known. I just asked you about a year ago, is this true? They're like, well, yeah, in between divorces, you know, he would double date.
One of the great playboys of all time, no question about it. But in between marriages, and you predicted this after the election and then even later, they're going to keep coming back at him with the women. And that's clearly one of the directions.
And the women have said, now they asked you, that he, if anything, he spoils the hell out of women.
But why is Mueller going around asking people about questions about the president and women? It seems totally inappropriate. Wait a minute, is this about Russian collusion and the 2016 election? Evidently not.
I got to say, in this whole corrupt world of everything, it's kind of refreshing, you know, a guy that likes women.
Well, the president definitely likes women. Of that, there is no doubt.
I like women, too. What's wrong with that?
It just shows you how far afield and how the resolve of these people to remove the president and the deep animus they have for him. And the more.
But what does it say that they can't find anybody to say anything that's real? There's nothing.
Well, that's why they're trying to presumably squeeze Michael Cohen. That's why they're going to try to squeeze me. You know, we're going to send you to jail for 10 years unless you tell us the president did X. I'm not playing that game. I'm not going to testify against Donald Trump.
Well, it's like the one lady he dated for like 6 months in the New York Times right before the election a year and a half ago, or 18 months ago. I forget her name, but she said the day after, she goes, no, they misquoted me. Because he called her fat and was mean to her. No, she said all he was super nice, bought me all these things. He was so gentlemanly and treated me so good. It was almost off-putting that he was such a gentleman. You know, girls don't like guys that are too nice, but he was so great. And yeah, he did tell me, hey, we both need to lose some weight. They took that and had it say, he told me I was fat. No, he said, we both ought to, at dinner, not eat dessert. We're both getting fat. I mean, that's the worst thing he ever did to a woman?
It's Trump derangement syndrome. It really is. And the more successful he is, the better the economy does, the better the prospects for peace, the more hysterical the deep state.
And I think that's really revealing. We're talking about the bottom of the hour. We're going to call us in 30 seconds, but let me just ask you this. You really should. The way to defend him is just go ahead and tell folks. I mean, you tell me, he treats women really nice. I mean, have you ever seen Trump mistreat any women?
Never.
How would you describe the way he treats women?
Puts them on a pedestal. Look, he's very respectful. He's also very discreet. But the fact that we're even talking about this is incredible.
But it's not us doing it. They're the ones.
Clearly, Mr. Mueller is going there. I have numerous reports of FBI agents fanning out and asking associates and former associates and those about the president and women. I thought this was about Russian collusion. What does this have to do with the 2016 election? But it just gives you some idea where the special counsel may be headed.
The big news is the FBI is coming to you. They're coming to your associates. They're bringing me up a lot. But now they've moved from that into, it's just 13, 14 people they brought me up to. And that we're all these masterminds running everything, which isn't true. We just want freedom, common sense stuff. And then now they're getting into going back decades ago. Nothing to do with Russia, nothing to do with anything, not even taxes. It's all, well, what are the questions that you're hearing that the FBI is asking about Roger Stone, Donald Trump, and women?
It's more about Donald Trump and women. Some of my associates were asked this, but other people I know who have been questioned by the FBI in the Mueller probe have told me that there seems to be a focus on the president's relationship with women. I'm not going to talk about that, ever. I'm not going to talk about out of school about the president. I don't know anything that would be detrimental to him. And the idea that they would cook up some offense against me as an effort to get me to roll on the president is probably what they have in mind. But I have proven there is no Russian collusion. There is no WikiLeaks collusion. I didn't know about John Podesta's email in advance. There's no evidence of that. I never paid for or bought any information. Everything I did in connection with the presidential election was legal. I'm not the target here. The president is the target. But it's put me and my family under enormous pressure. Think of having a runaway federal prosecutor in every molecule of your being, reading your emails.
But to be specific, they're really desperate. But you didn't tell me any secrets. I just had some New York Times articles over the phone. And I said, is this accurate? Is that accurate? Because hell, that was even during the campaign. I wanted to make sure I wasn't betting on the wrong horse so something wouldn't come out. And you said, listen, he treats women really great. He puts them on a pedestal. He puts them to this whole courtship thing because he's a germaphobe. And, you know, the fact that he'd be even promiscuous is bull. He is a playboy. He dated a lot of women when he's divorced. He treats them really great.
And the taste level is extraordinary. I mean, he dated supermodels.
Well, I was about to say, but then you told me a little more. You said that if they give him any trouble or act weird, he didn't put up with that either. I mean, just in general, you were his friend. You were his wingman. You're not going to give us secrets. Just in general, Trump's relationship to women, how does he treat them?
Extraordinary. And his taste level. Melania, his wife, who's a wonderful person, is typical of the kind of woman that he dated in between marriages. And she was, of course, the woman he chose.
Because you've got tens, but you've also got 10, 10, 10, like in gymnastics. I mean, it's solid tens across the board. She's smart. She's beautiful. She's cool. Her presence is amazing.
Supermodels. He had a tendency to date supermodels, and he wasn't shy about it. And he was enormously discreet. He is a gentleman. Beyond that, I'm not going to go.
But never anything about roughing women up. Never a problem.
Not his thing.
Well, they've been all over everything with a fine-tooth comb. There's nothing there.
That's why the rudimentary idea in this ridiculous dossier that he would somehow enjoy watching women urinate on each other, that's not Donald Trump. That's not his thing. He would find that disgusting. That's what's so outrageous about it. It's not even credible as an idea. So he was one of the great playboys of all time.
He's not into degrading women.
For sure.
And he's not into the stuff that Democrats and people are into. The whole scatological thing.
Definitely not. He's an admitted germaphobe. When he thought about running for president in 2000 very briefly, which is, he would tell you today was more my idea than his, he went through about a gallon of Purell a day for hand cleansing.
You've tuned in to this special Father's Day edition of The Alex Jones Show. You've tuned in to this special Father's Day edition of The Alex Jones Show.
But what we do know is obviously that he's been moved there. He's been moved to a more dangerous situation. It wasn't by the governors. It wasn't by the prison guards. It wasn't by any usual process that normally takes place in a prison like this. It was sent down straight from the top, from the Home Office. completely unprecedented. These things don't normally happen. He told me directly on Tuesday the facts that he told me he wanted out immediately as fast as possible, because if anything does happen to him and he's at massive risk, he wants the world to know exactly what's going on.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right. I am taking over the fourth hour today to take your phone calls. I was going to go directly to him right now, but Tommy Robinson's spokesman needs to come on earlier. He's in the street in London, big developments, Kalen Robertson. So we're going to talk to him for this segment, a little bit of the next, and I promise we're going to take like 20 of your phone calls with Roger Stone about how's Trump doing? What do you make of the IG report? North Korea? Are we thankful for how things have turned around? I know I sure am. I wasn't just a negative person before. I didn't like what the globalists were doing. We're taking the country back. History's happening. And we're such an instant gratification society. Even a lot of Trump supporters I know are like, well, he's the guy we needed. He's a wrecking ball. You know, he's not perfect. You know, man, I've sacrificed a lot, but nothing like Tommy Robinson, a political prisoner, who they now admit was moved into a Muslim wing, and who they are saying they're going to kill him. And there is an imam putting a fatwa out. And only Drudge picked this up 2 days ago. 3 days ago, the media was saying, I made it up, Roger. And it really frustrates me that they're like this. We broke that Hillary's server was broken into from international intelligence sources and Colonel Schaefer in January of 2016. That's why they hate us, because we are so truthful, Roger.
It's extraordinary. You can expect this to be happening in a Muslim country, in a Middle Eastern country. That is happening in the UK just boggles the mind. And the silence of the national media, of the mainstream media, with the exception of Drudge, it's extraordinary.
Without Drudge, you wouldn't even know that I was banned on YouTube. Then when they reinstated us, Bloomberg said it was a mutiny. Someone did it without authorization. How sensational is that? Yeah. Without, and I don't mean to kiss Drudge's butt, it's true. Without Drudge, he's the guy that continues to be the final domino to break open the wall.
He does have enormous reach. It reminds me of when they said, oh no, we didn't turn off Sean Hannity's Twitter feed. Some guy spilled Coca-Cola on the control board. It was all a mistake.
And what they're doing is testing it to get us just worn out of hearing about it until they finally ban you or Milo. Let's go for this segment and then part of the next. We're going right to calls to Kalen Robertson. And he joins us right now on the street. Again, he had the bravery to go on the air when no one else would. He's Tommy's spokesperson. Tommy told me that directly before he even went to jail about a week before. Tommy is fighting for his life right now in the Muslim wing. The media spins it and goes, well, it's a Muslim wing. The whole prison isn't 70%, only that wing. So they've picked a Islamic prison with a Muslim wing to throw in Tommy Robinson, and he's got new developments for us. Kalen, thank you for joining us and giving us updates. It's good to see his lawyers coming out and confirming everything you said a day after you said it.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us as well, and thank you so much for covering all of this stuff. Sorry, it's just very busy in London. We're trying to do this period really quickly right now. So basically, news reports that you've just been talking about, completely insane. They said that it was 70% made up, nothing out of nowhere. Tommy told us directly that it looked like that. It looked about 70% on his wing, and they were saying, oh, well, there's no such thing as a 70% Muslim. So the whole thing's nonsense. But they're using their usual tactics to try to discredit everything that we're doing and to try to discredit all of the facts, to try and brush it all over and say that nothing is actually wrong. So, obviously, reiterating our phone call a couple of days ago, the facts are still the same. We have had a little bit of communication since then, and he still is okay. However, I can reconfirm everything we spoke about the other night. He was moved to a really dangerous prison. It was really bad. It has a much higher Muslim population. It's actually got a record of having terrible, violent crime, if you look it up as well. He's actually just been moved to solitary confinement, and he's sort of in a room with a blue mat on the floor, completely bizarre. So we know that at least he's safe in that period for now. But because he's in that situation, it means that communication is going to be a little bit more difficult in the meantime. So we don't know if he's going to be immediately put back into that really dangerous wing. We don't know if he's going to be shoved to another prison that's even more dangerous. Those threats have been passed on to him. But what we do know is obviously that he's been moved there. He's been moved to a more dangerous situation. It wasn't by the governors. It wasn't by the prison guards. It wasn't by any usual process that normally takes place in a prison like this. It was sent down straight from the top, from the Home Office, completely unprecedented. These things don't normally happen. And that's why we've got so many people now writing to the Home Office, so much pressure from people in America trying to say, what on earth are you doing? You're basically putting someone in the firing line with direct orders from the top. It doesn't make any sense. And those are the new developments.
And that's the bombshell news. It's up on Infowars.com. Thank God Drudge linked to it last night. Order to send Tommy Robinson to heavily Muslim-populated prison came from the top. Activist safety and danger as a result of high-risk status being removed from his file. And now you say that they've thrown him back in solitary confinement, which is more cruel and unusual punishment for reporting that there was a trial on Muslim grooming gangs, which even the media reported on. They said he reported on the trial itself. And so 13 months in the Islamic wing, a certain death sentence, or 13 months in solitary confinement, silencing him, being able to talk to you every few days. So I guess you haven't been able to talk to him since you talked to him on Tuesday and gave us that emergency message.
No, it seemed like they really weren't happy about that information going out, and they seemed to cut off a lot of things. We have had some communication, but not directly between him and I, that he is actually still safe and he's okay, but they're really clamping down on the information that's coming out. He doesn't want him talking to the outside world. He doesn't want any, they don't want any fuss being made. They don't want you doing what you're doing. They don't want Judge putting it on the front page. They want it to be a nothing burger. They tried to silence it as soon as he got in prison, as we know, but that didn't work. And now they're trying to say that it's all nonsense because the statistics are slightly off. But that's what they're trying to do. So they don't want any information coming out about him because it builds up a frenzy. It gets people upset. It gets people up rightfully. And so the next stages are basically going through the legal process. That's what we're doing now and doing everything we can to make sure that he's not in that situation, that he can have communication to the outside world because he wants this information to get out. He told me directly on Tuesday the facts that he told me he wanted out immediately as fast as possible because if anything does happen to him and he's at massive risk, he wants the world to know exactly what's going on. And he knows people are listening.
And again, when he first got arrested, for 3 days, there was a D-notice where the media couldn't report he was arrested. And they had news saying, I made that up and you made that up. Then they confirmed that. Then they had an order not to cover the demonstrations. I mean, this is so authoritarian what the UK is becoming. And now Roger and I are talking about being political prisoners. We're under attack. Paul Manafort has been grabbed and put in jail today. I mean, this is really wild.
Oh, people don't seem to realize that it's going to happen to them next. It's bizarre because it's Tommy and because he's perceived as extreme. They think, oh, of course he's getting thrown away. He looks a little bit rough, doesn't he? He looks like he'd be capable of that. But after Tommy, it's going to come for you. It's going to come for everybody else. It's going to come for people in the middle. It's going to come from anyone who's even slightly dissident and who has said anything even slightly against the government or the PC policies or anything that's been going on in the last sort of 10 years in Britain. And they don't realize how creeping this process is and how slow and how creeping it is. And they don't care. It's so blatant as well. They'll just make him disappear. 1 second, Tommy's on the street bringing the facts. He's got millions of views. He's in the public spotlight. The next second, he's in a room for 23 hours a day on a mat on the floor. They make people disappear within seconds. And they can still get away with it. Well, just about. We'll see what's going to happen soon. But it's absolutely baffling how blatant and open and in the open.
All right, let's talk about what we can do and just what's happening in the UK when we come back. Go ahead.
We need to pray. We need to lift Tommy Robinson up with prayer. All the InfoWarriors, we need to be praying for his safety right now.
Let's pray for him when we come back.
I think it's important.
Absolutely. Prayer is number one, folks. It's absolutely numero uno. We talked about that just the other day. It's true. There are no atheists in foxholes, and my head is spinning. And we're going to all your phone calls. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. When freedom fails, the best men rot in filthy jails, and those that cry to appease are hung by those they tried to please.
You know, someone...
You've tuned in to this special Father's Day edition of the Alex Jones Show.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones, live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide from the Infowars.com studios.
Now! They think you're a goldfish! I've been betting on you my whole life! I believe in you! I don't think you're stupid!
One man ever ranks a woman, all genitals were cut off!
kicking these traitors' asses politically, and we're not backing down ever. Get these people. We're winning. I can feel the spirit rising. Can't you? We have broken their back. Yes, I can feel it. Ah! Ah! Let's go. Ah!
Come on, 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 come on.
Vengeance is coming. Fire is coming. The real revolution against you. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Father's Day 2018, and at the end of the transmission, I'm going to cover the most important information we've covered in the last hour and 50 minutes. The international currency of the global psychopathic kleptocracy is the rape of children, the trafficking of children, the torture of children, the murder of children, and that's how Zbigniew Brzezinski even admitted in several books he wrote that global elites controlled populations. Former national security advisor wrote multiple books admitting that governments controlled organized crime, even child trafficking. And sex parties and Satanism with men and women is only the gateway drug into molesting children, abusing children, using children up, and then strangling them or bleeding them out. I know the secrets of Eyes Wide Shut. I'm not allowed to tell you. I was given it in confidence by Vivian Kubrick, but I'm going to leave it just at that. But there is a lot of news in Europe and some in Asia, but nothing in the United States. And I've noticed that there will be Italian TV piece, one that I saw about 15 years ago, one of thousands of stories like this that got out, reporters at their job on a national magazine show, of little Italian children grabbed and taken into Eastern Europe, 2 and 3 year old boys, raped, gang raped by men till their guts are coming out of them. And then they shoot the little baby boys in the head with 357 Magnums. And the big story was that they had sold thousands of VHS tapes, is still how they did it, one-offs, and the main place that had been shipped was Hollywood, California. Because, oh, the elites, they deserve everything. It's all about them and how arrogant they are and how divorced from God they are. And they partake in this stuff as an evil thrill to get closer to the dark energy that they believe they get power from. And then I remember reading in the foreign press how those reporters were fired after it aired. Not because it wasn't accurate. They were just fired. So I've been told, you leave this alone or we're coming after you. And you've got the pedos coming out of the woodwork at Vice and at the New York Times and at Salon. You can look it up. It was promoting it, saying, it shows these guys saying that they lust after 4-year-old girls. And that they're not bad people. And they just look like demons directly out of hell. A pedo opens up about being targeted by vigilantes. It's all how they're victims and how good they are. I'm a pedophile, but not a monster. The New York Times, all of this, and the early psychological movement was pushing sex with kids. That's what this is. They want, as psychic vampires, whether you believe in God or not, there's people that get off on hurting innocents. So, that said, this guy, I've studied him, was a Renfield. He was allowed to get out of Australia. You have the deputy pope being tried for kidnapping over 100 young boys and trafficking them. He's totally guilty. They're having a secret trial in Australia. But this guy was a Renfield. He would deliver them to the Draculas. And I'm saying spiritually they're vampires, not physically. Though blood drinking is at the tip of what they do. And so this is all over the foreign news. This is out of the Sun. It's linked up on Infowars.com, and at his sentencing, he smiled and laughed and thought it was really cute. And of course, notice he looks just like Peter, just like Jimmy Savile. Some of these guys' names I got them mixed up. He looks just like Jimmy Savile, Peter does. Let's pull up Jimmy Savile for TV viewers. Radio listeners, look him up. Oh, they found his underground dungeons, his best friends with the royal family, and was shipping kids all over to everybody. They'd bring kids in and slit their throats in front of the prime minister. Reportedly, world's worst pedo, Peter Scully, who filmed baby rapes, tortured kids, and made them dig their own graves, smirks at life in jail. And if you're a radio listener, you didn't miss anything when we showed him smirking. But how about the hot young ladies that like to wear little Eyes Wide Shut masks? Let's show people that are in the videos. Not the Hollywood video, but the screenshots in the article. Let's scroll down and show folks some of that. Or just do me a document cam shot. I can do it right here. Look at the evil look on this guy. But look up Jimmy Savile and see how that same look. That's the look of the Renfield. That's the supplier. That's the supplier look. Guys, search engine Jimmy Savile, child sex scandals. You'll have it. We'll put it on screen. There he is, Peter Gerald Scully. The evil rapist fled charges in Australia in 2011 and moved to areas where he would entice impoverished children with money and gifts. He then drugged the vulnerable youngsters and made films of him raping and torturing them for an international pedophile ring. Oh, those don't exist. The media always says I'm insane. I say those exist. They do not exist, they say. Filipino police say Scully, who buried the 11-year-old under a floor of a house, this is just the one house that he lived in for a few months that they caught him with, he was renting after making a film about him raping her and strangling her to death. Operating a secret child pornography site on the dark web called No Limits Fun, he sold videos for up to $10,000 per view. Yeah, they were selling the videos of them raping little boys and gang rapes and then blowing their heads off for $20,000 a piece. But the U.S., the FBI said they would not even investigate it. And then it just goes on from there. In the film called With Barbie Playing Daisy, Alvarez and he would participate in the child torture and sexual assault. The little girl screams and cries as she is beaten, raped, tortured, and defiled by Scully and his two masked accomplices. Then they light her on fire, use barbed wire, torture her, waterboard her, and then jam giant objects in her and then kill her. And I hate to get into all this, but this is who runs things. Let me show you the young women. Document cam shot, please. Here they are, just like Eyes Wide Shut. Just like Eyes Wide Shut. It's, look at the young ladies are enjoying their power right now. It feels so good to torture that 5-year-old girl to death. Some of the babies he raped to death were 1 year old. And that's the big thing, is that the big thing they like is a kid and then their guts coming out. The big thing is they'll, I hate to get graphic here, but the Satanists like to rip children's guts out, their rear ends. Okay, so that's who runs things, and that's who puts fluoride in your water, and that's who thinks you're a slave, and that's who thinks that they're unstoppable, and that's who thinks they can dominate you and that there's nothing you can do because they're so evil you can't even imagine it. So they're going to hit you with GMO to warp your genetics. They're going to hit you with fluoride. They're going to microwave you with G5. 5G. They're going to brainwash your kids. They're going to sexualize your children. They're going to promote Satanism everywhere, and you're going to appreciate it and love it. And then they're going to sell the videos everywhere, and you're not going to stop them, they think. I didn't get to the big exclusive with Roger Stone, where he breaks down how it was an FBI informant, a man who'd been an informant before, with a anglicized name, who had a Russian background, trying to sell them info that they didn't buy, and that's how they were trying to plant breadcrumbs. But the media's spreading it like Trump's been caught. Oh my God, Russiagate's real. So that's all up on Infowars.com with that exclusive, and Lord willing, we'll be covering it all tomorrow. If you want to stand against these devil worshipers, you want to stand against the censors, the big telecom and big tech heads, a lot of them that are into this, then you need to take this video and this article and this information and ram it down their dirty, stinking throats and let them know that we're onto them. And you need to also know we're ending tomorrow. It's going to be going on for 2 weeks. The free shipping on our best-selling items and 50% off our best-selling supplements like Brain Force, X2, Super Male Vitality, The Real Red Pill Plus, Bodies, and so much more. And when you fund us, it just blocks Soros and the globalists and all these open groups that want to shut us down, CNN and all the other fake news dirtbags that invert reality. You can just assume whatever they say is the opposite and look it up. It usually is. God, they lie when telling the truth, but help them. They just can't help it. They're of their father, the devil. They're all a bunch of scum. Super predators that will be brought down. Infowars.com, newswars.com. I say no to your plan. I say yes to a human future. God bless you all. Please spread the live links.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.